The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Found your podcast. I'm like, okay, I need to get my brain thinking about detailing, and, you know, I'll get online and research. And when I saw your podcast and started listening to it, I'm like, oh my gosh, guys, I just landed on a gold mine.
Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to this episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Today's episode is very, very cool. So I hope you enjoy it. As always, this episode is brought to you by the Detailer Inner Circle. You could learn more at detailerinnercircle.com. And of course, jimbodaily.com, all the auto detailing accessories I use. I think I'm planning a little rebrand on that. So stay tuned for that. But for now, jimbodaily.com. And yeah, Detailer Inner Circle. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. All right, everyone, welcome to this episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. I'm excited for this one. We have a marketing director of a shop that does mainly business-to-business detailing, so dealership detailing. So her name is Mikkel. She's with Parkside Detail and Accessories. And Mikkel, welcome to the Auto Detailing Podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm really excited about being on your podcast. I listen to a lot of your podcasts just, you know, when I'm trying to come up with ideas and things. So it's really exciting for me to be on here today.
And thanks for taking the time. And like I told you, when we just had our brief phone call, I really like to try to get the female voice or the female side of things. Sometimes, especially the detailing industry, can get so male dominated that it's nice to bring in a different perspective. I know for me, whenever I bring my wife into something, whether it's like an episode idea or a video idea or whatever, she always has like a way better idea and a way better execution. So it's usually our smarter counterparts happen to be female. So anyway, but tell us about Parkside Detailing, and then also tell us about you and your role there and how that came to be.
Okay, so Parkside Detail and Accessories started about 10 years ago, and it basically started for a need in Toyota Knoxville, because we're based out of Knoxville. So they just were running out of space, and they wanted to be able to offer the customers more. They wanted to be able to do more like a one-stop shop kind of place. So they built a big warehouse right across the street. And we started off with no name. We didn't have a name. We were just the people in the building that cleaned the cars for the dealerships, pretty much.
Did the dealership own it, or they just created? Sorry, I do happen to interrupt a lot.
Fine.
Did the dealership own it, or just did they have like whoever their detailers were at the time start it as like a separate business?
No. So, gentlemen's Doug White and Terry Taylor, they kind of own most of the dealerships in this area. And so Doug White decided that he wanted to be able to give that to his customers at the dealership. So he built the building, and his business partner, which is my mentor, my boss, Randy Loveday, put reconditioning, detailing, car washes. We have an auto butler machine that kind of like before ceramic coating was the thing, it was auto butler.
And what is that? Because so I'm naive. I'm also very naive to the dealership side of detailing too. So what is the auto butler?
So the auto butler is like a bus machine that we do on every single one of the vehicles. Protects the paint from oxidation, from, you know, it's not as, it doesn't feel as hard as a ceramic coating with the nanotechnology, but it does the same thing. And they'll sell it in F&I.
Got it.
And, you know, it's like a warranty option you can purchase with the vehicle.
Gotcha.
So kind of like before they came out with all this new, you know, nanoceramic technology.
Okay. Thanks.
So, but, so everybody came over here. We needed room, and we were, like I said, just detailers over here. And then we also have our reconditioning side. So, you know, the business grew, and it grew so much that people were like coming just to the building and like going, hey, can I get these services without going to the dealership? You know, can I just come bring my car and get it detailed, or can I come bring my car and, you know, get my windshield chip repaired or my wheels repaired? And it just kind of grew itself. And how I came into play is 2 years ago, I came on the team and I was washing cars. Like we have a fast lane where we just run cars through the car wash. And I started washing cars, and it was kind of funny because, which I'm best friends with Lance, our shop foreman now, but I drove him absolutely crazy because when I came on the team, all of the guys were really mad because I cleaned the car a lot faster and way better than they did.
See, true to my point earlier, right? Of like, you girls usually have the better idea, the clearer vision, the better execution, the better cleaning. That I'm glad that rang true. right. So you're showing them up.
Yeah, I did. And it was really causing some disruption with the guys. Like, okay, why is this girl showing off? You know, so the director noticed like this ruckus that I was causing, and he decided to pull me into his office, and I became his assistant. So I've got to see things on so many different levels, because not only like knowing the products and the chemicals and, you know, putting a certification class that now all of our detailers have to go through a Master's McGuire certification class to be a detailer. I mean, just all these different fun projects that I've got to see. But then he put me in charge of growing our retail business, and that's how I became the marketing director.
Wow. So you've really seen, though, you've really, did you have a, like, what, this is like on topic, but kind of a little rabbit trail, like, what was it, why did you want to go there in the first place to clean cars, or what drew you to that place? Did you just, like, need a job and not, like, driving down the road and you're like, oh, that looks fun? Or like, was your family into cars? Were you into cars?
I've always loved cars. And I've always like been the type of person that, you know, I've got to be going and I have to be moving.
Got it.
But
okay.
In all honesty, I had just moved back from Florida.
Okay.
Cause I have family that lives in Florida, and I've been a single mom since my daughter was born. And, I'm just like, dude, I got
to
get some.
You just had to make it happen.
I can find the job that I need. You
Fair.
Know, I mean,
yeah.
I had skills elsewhere, but I mean, when you're a parent, you'll flip burgers until you figure out what you need.
100%. I have 3 kids myself, so I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like, rubber meets the road. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. And my boss, I think, kind of knew that about me a little bit. And he knew that, like, I had other skills that he could utilize. So he's like, well, instead of you looking for somewhere else, like, we're just going to utilize you right here. And I'm telling you, it is so – I absolutely love working with cars every single day, getting to test new products. To try and see what the retail market is going for, and getting to, you know, learn about all of these different tools, like the roofs. All of our guys use roofs. So, like, I've had to study on all of this stuff and understand all of it, because you can't market something unless you know what you're talking about.
100%.
It's just been, it's been so much fun. And I've actually taken your podcast, because one of the things I've been trying to do, we've got 10 detailers in our building. And one of the things I've been really trying to do, because I help hire as well in my directing assistant position, I try and hire guys in. So I'm like, okay, how do we create this feeling of like unity and make these guys feel really good and feel like, okay, this is a professional thing. Like, this is an art. This is a skill. Mm-hmm. Like, make them proud of what they're doing.
100%. You know? Yeah. Yep.
So we've been working, like I said, on the certification classes. But I found your podcast. I'm like, okay, I need to get my brain thinking about detailing, and, you know, I'll get online and research. And when I saw your podcast and started listening to it, I'm like, oh my gosh, guys, I just landed on a gold mine.
And that's exactly why I'm going to take that audio out right there and play it in the beginning. Like, that's why I had you on the podcast, just to say that. I'm teasing.
Well, I mean, it's like I told the guys, I'm like, while you guys are detailing 100%. And, you know, your friends are telling you, oh, you just clean cars for a living, I'm like, you need to be playing this stuff in your earbuds, because it's interesting the way that the automotive industry is changing. You've got Carvana's coming into place. You've got Tesla. Mm-hmm. So these, you know, the buying experience is going to be changing, but one thing is not going to be changing is how vain people are and how much they want to look good while they're driving down the road.
Mm-hmm. And to your point, that's kind of why I wanted to start a podcast in the very beginning, but really what I thought is I'm just a detailer, right? So that same thought pattern that you had was what I had back in 2014, is like, well, if I could detail cars and listen to something about detailing and like get better while I'm doing it, that would be amazing, you know? And then there was nothing. And I was like, I was shocked that there was no podcast about detailing, which is how I got the name, the Auto Detailing Podcast. But then I was like, well, I don't think I know everything. So that's why I started interviewing people and even continue to this day. And because I think there's always something to learn and gleam out of these conversations, you know. And I'm just sitting here thinking, like, where you're at is like amazing. And to everyone listening, you know, you and I have interacted a few times on Instagram, but other than that, I really don't know anything about you or the business. Right. So, but hearing it, I'm like, wow, how smart of those, you know, dealership owners to create this place, because I'm also a huge fan of like multiple streams of income, right? As a little side topic that I talk about sometimes. So it's like, I see that. And then for you, I'm like, wow, she starts as like this car washer, but then she's really like in this matrix of like this awesome organization with like a million paths to go for a career. You know, it's like, I'm like, this is awesome, I feel like. And I love it. So I have no idea what that whole tangent was about, other than to say, I like this conversation. How about that? But I think I wrap it up in this bow. I like that, you know, I think dealership detailing, and I've had a guy named Jim Jones, not the rapper, June Jones. He's in Oklahoma as well. You're in Tennessee. He's in Oklahoma. But I had him on the podcast because he worked at a dealership doing detailing. And I felt like to the retail detailer, dealership detailing has such a bad rap. But when I had June on the podcast, he talked about how there's so much growth opportunity within an organization like a dealership.
Absolutely.
And I kind of feel like that's kind of what you've really taken advantage of in a good way, is kind of the growth opportunities that something that has, I guess, as much financial backing as a dealership can, to where you can really grow and expand your career within that organization.
Mm-hmm. It's really neat. You know, we do a lot for the service drives too, because like I said, we do wheel repair.
Right.
We do, we have two paintless dent repair, gentlemen that are in there 24/7 in our bays. And normally that's just only mobile service.
Right.
And you know, we can do small body repair. So we've got a paint booth. We've also got, a 360 photo booth. So, you know, like for the Lexus dealership, we actually have someone writing cosmetic damage reports, and like they'll stand in that service lane and they'll when those appointments come in, he'll run around and he'll write up all the damages and he'll write up if it needs detailed. And we port the cars to our building, get it done, and get it done in under 2 hours, and then get it back to the customer. So I mean, there's so many different angles.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already got that tapped into it. So now it's like, you know, we're trying to join you guys. Like, we want to get that retail business and figure out how to be mainstream. And what is it about us that's going to make customers want to come to us, you know?
Right. And that's what I was going to ask. That was going to be my next question. When you mentioned a little while back, you mentioned retail. Did you mean, when I first heard it, I thought maybe like having a retail showroom to like sell products? But is it that, or is it how are you trying to get the retail customer to bring their car in there for detailing and restoration services?
So right now, I'm handling all the SEM and the website and stuff like that. And
yep.
I handle all of the social media accounts. So that's really just that. And then also, you know, getting interactive with the community. I have to praise on the detailers for a second because we've got an amazing group of guys. The weekend of Thanksgiving, we had 5 detailers volunteer to do a car wash for the homeless veterans in our community.
Wow.
With the Tennessee Valley Coalition for the Homeless. So that's another thing. You know, we're getting engaged with the community and and I'm sorry, but if you've ever had employees, people don't want to volunteer at
that
time.
They don't even want to work.
Yeah.
Let alone volunteer.
Yeah. So, that's the way we're kind of trying to reach out into the community, because we see all these smaller shops that it's like, you know, they've got their own style and,
yep.
you know, people come in and it's like a buying experience. And so we're trying to, you know, bring it to like, okay, we're not catering to, a corporate business anymore. Like, let's figure out how to make a customer feel like, wow, you know, give them that wow experience when they come in, other than just the quality work. But,
right.
You know, and we've got a small showroom, but it's just, you know, it's not what we're used to. So we're trying to get out there and, you know, be cool like you guys.
And it really is two different, are you finding it? Well, I guess for the dealership side of things, that's kind of on autopilot for you, right? Because it's just coming in and you got the service guys maybe upselling or selling detailing services or rim repair or whatever. Is that kind of on autopilot, or what kind of marketing? And I realize that maybe kind of sounded rude, but what kind of marketing goes into like offering the services at the dealership? Is it reaching other dealerships that these guys don't own? And how does that marketing or SEM differ from like the retail side of things? Is it just having like a sign out front and a nice like showroom? I don't know.
Well, like, okay, so think about it. A customer comes in to purchase a car from a dealership. They have to have that, you know, they get all warmed up and they get, you know, that time and that attention spent with them in the dealership, you know, hey, we're going to sell you this and this is what we can do for you. This is, you know, if you know anything about sales, you got to warm that person up to you. So you've already done that. The customer's already done that dance before they come to our building when it's, when we're servicing the dealership.
Gotcha.
But so really, I mean, we're at a place where we're trying to figure out, you know, you got to know what your brand is. You got to know what you want your customers to feel when they walk into the room. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we're trying to figure out what our dance is with the customer when they come in. And you know, we've got a great group and we're going to figure it out, and it's, you know, it's going to be amazing. But as far as like the marketing goes, so I do business to business marketing. So I have to market to the dealerships. I don't market to their customer.
Right.
Right. So I market to the managers. I help the managers out. Hey, what can I do to help our services better you? So I'm marketing to the dealerships themselves. I don't deal one-on-one with customers, but then, you know, and you got to think about, you know, the psychographics of that, like they're what the dealership is wanting. And then compared to just, you know, John Doe walking down the street, his mentality is going to be a little different and it's a completely different demographic. So You have to have someone that really understands how to like navigate back and forth between this person, you know, is a retail customer and they're thinking one type of way. And then, you know, this person's already purchased everything from us across the dealership.
Right.
And they're just dropping their car off to get services done. So it's completely different as far as the marketing aspect. But it's so much fun because, I mean, like, I'm all over the place. I got to stay doing a million different things. So this, like, probably is the best position I've ever
been. No kidding.
In
no,
my
it's,
life.
It really seems like you're in, like, an amazing position. And not only from the marketing standpoint, but I'm also seeing, too, like, and you get to see like the rim repair, you get to see the dent repair, you get to see like the minor body damage repair, probably like bumper resprays and stuff like that. I'm like,
oh yeah,
the things that you have your hands in are like are really invaluable when you learn all those. What so I have a few people that reach out that want to, maybe they live in a community with a lot of dealers. What are some like marketing tactics that you, or maybe like tips that you could share with that person that's interested in going into the dealership side of things? Now, it's probably going to be a little bit different in the sense that they will probably be like not have a facility next door to the dealer, but maybe they would, right? So what marketing tactics would you give or what advice would you give to a detailer that wants to attract or get more dealership work? Who do they talk to? Where do they start? How can they do that?
You know, usually it's the GMs that make that decision. So your general managers is who you're going to want to talk to. Trying to talk to a salesperson is going to, you know, get their attention. But I mean, you definitely want to talk to a general manager when you go to a dealership. And you got to think about, I mean, it's all business, you know, there's so much competition out there. The biggest thing I can say when you are marketing yourself is, what is it about your services or your details, or what is it that you do that sets you apart from the next person? Because that right there will help you get in the door, because you got to think about it. You know, these mobile detailers and these mobile reconditioning places, I mean, we deal with it all the time. We've got people trying to come to the dealerships and, you know, hey, I can do this dent repair real quick. And they'll come by once a week and they're mobile dent repair, you know, and they try to get the business. And they do it at some of the dealerships. But, you know, so you got to think about, you know, this overload of, you know, people that are in the market now. Mm-hmm. They're getting hit left and right. So, you know, they're wanting something. They're wanting something to stand out. Like when you're going to sell yourself, like, you know, why should this dealership choose me over the other 10 guys that have already stopped by here trying to offer? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you've got to have that. And I mean, that's just for anything really.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be something as simple as, I don't know. I mean, it could be something as simple as, you know, working, you know, in bulk. Like, I don't know. That's really the biggest advice I could give.
Just be different than everyone else, because they get hit so many times every single week. How would you get to the GM, though? Would it be like, sweet, do you just walk in and ask, hey, is the GM here? Obviously, you could do some research and find out his name, right, or her name. But how do you get to the GM?
If you go online, and like if you go to the websites, you know, most dealerships are going to have, you know, a list of employees with pictures. But, gotcha. I mean, just walk in. I mean, if you're a business guy and you mean business and you know you've got quality and you know your stuff is worth, you know, it's walking with confidence. Go in there and say, hey, you know, I'd like to speak with the general manager. You definitely don't want to go in at the end of the month.
Got it.
Because end of the month is always crazy at dealerships.
That's a good tip. So would the beginning of the month be good, or would like the 10th through the 15th be like the ideal window?
I would say the 10th through the 15th.
Okay.
Because the beginning of the month, they're trying to get all their salespeople going, and the end of the month, they're trying to wrap up everything from the month before.
Gotcha.
And get all those numbers. So
okay, that's a huge tip.
Know,
yep, no, that's a huge tip right there, right? Because timing is very important, right? And if you go at the wrong time, you know, you may be inflicting more work than you need to, right? So that's a very, very good tip. Go in the middle of the month, not the beginning or the end. Love
yeah.
that. Yeah, go ahead.
So yeah, that's really all I have is.
And you guys have a huge shop, and I know that dealership detailing. I'm looking at your guys' Facebook page right now as we talk, and I know that dealership detailing. I don't think it does as much anymore, but for a long time, I feel like it got a bad rep, at least with, I guess, quote unquote, retail detailers. But man, you guys have a great looking shop. I mean, the pictures are great too, but it's massive. Massive.
30,000 square feet, roughly.
So you have a 30,000 square foot, basically, reconditioning facility.
Yep. Any kind of automotive cosmetics or accessories upgrades, we do it in this building. We are one stop.
And you guys got everything from the it looks like you have little carts with like chemicals ready to go, kind of like mini detail carts. It looks like that. Obviously using Meguiar's, Dr. Color Chip, Rupes. I mean, you guys are there.
Yeah, we what's neat for our detailers, they don't have to, they actually can't bring any of their own tools in because we're very specific about the types of pads they use, the types of the compounds that they use, the waxes that they use.
Mm-hmm.
We, all of that is supplied to them, and they all have to go through a certification class that teaches them about, you know, the pH levels and why certain chemicals do some certain things. I mean, we take our detailing very, very seriously here, but we also clean $100,000 cars on a regular basis from, you know, and it's for a business,
right?
You know,
right.
So we have to produce quality all the time, you know?
Yeah.
But our detailers, we have someone come in and change out their towels for them. I mean, because that's how much we're rocking every day. Like, they have no time to slow down.
To do anything.
We never stop. We never stop with details. Never run out.
Wow.
And we're blessed for that. We're very, very blessed for that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Are you seeing, I was talking to my friend Marty Hill, who also does a podcast, says the Pints and Polishing podcast. And he's actually in Oklahoma too, and he does a little bit of service for dealerships on the chemical side of things. And he's been saying, and so I want to pose this question to you: you may not be seeing it, or may be seeing it, but are customers starting to come in asking for like ceramic coatings more, or with like all these companies running massive Facebook ads? Whether that be the Top Coat F11 or the Hydrosilix or the Shine Armor or whatever, with so much ad spend being pumped into these quote unquote ceramic, whether it be a spray and wipe or a true ceramic coating, have you seen that in your shop of like customers asking for that more, or I guess less usage of stuff like a liquid wax? And people trying to opt for these like quote unquote ceramic sprays or coatings?
So we are seeing that more, especially here in Knoxville. We've got a ceramic pro in our area. We've got, you know, a lot of different ceramics going and being marketed. We are actually testing several different ceramic coatings right now. And it's funny that you said Pints and Polishing podcast.
Yeah.
I got some chemicals from him, and I've got a cup sitting here on my
desk. Oh, cool. Yeah. What, did he send you his coating or?
I'm guessing it was his coating. So my distributor, I have my distributor with Meguiar's.
Okay.
He helps me hunt down chemicals because gotcha. I just have something going on. I'm like, hey, we need ceramics. I need you to send me like 10 different ceramics because yep. we've got to get this guy ceramics. And because there's a need, you know?
Yep.
The only thing that I see with the ceramic coating is, I mean, part of me feels like is it's just going to be a trend.
Yeah. Okay.
You know? Yep. Because it's really high price. You know, you're only hitting a certain demographic with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're testing them right now. And yes, to answer your question, there are people coming in asking for it. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Just curious. Just yeah. curious because it's interesting to see. It's like I compare coatings to like the clay bar. Like customers have no idea what it does, right? Like the mm-hmm. general consensus is that they think it removes scratches, right? So, and I'm like, man, the clay bar has been out forever seemingly, right? And they still have no idea what it is, but they want it, right? Because they know it's good in some fashion. And I just feel I'm eager to see if the same thing is going to happen with coatings where customers just want it. They don't really know what it is or what it does, but they've just heard it so much, they just want it. So I wondered, you know, on the dealership side of things, if that was the case. So that's interesting to see it. It is.
Yeah. I mean, you've got, of course, your car enthusiasts, they're going to know about it.
Of course. Right.
But, you know, for me, you know, seeing this, it's like when I go, I want to find the best ceramic coating mm-hmm. that is going to be able to be affordable for us to offer it to a wider range of people. And I just noticed Meguiar's came out with this retail spray, this ceramic yep. 3-in-1 spray.
Yep.
I'm dying to try that. Like yeah. I call my distributor. I'm like, why do I not have a bottle of this yet? I need this now.
Yeah. Are you talking about the hybrid ceramic? Oh gosh. The hybrid ceramic wax?
Yep, so, the yep. 3-in-1.
Well, what's interesting about that spray on ceramic wax is that it's actually a retail product.
Yeah.
It's not even in their professional line. So I'm eager to try it as well. I just did some videos on the M110 and had some lengthy talks with Michael Stoops and Mike Pennington about those products. But yeah, when I saw Meguiar's launch that too, I'm like, whoa, interesting play to the retail market. And I thought some quote unquote professional detailers would hate that it went to the retail market. Excuse me. And especially
Meguiar's marketing is so stinking smart.
So smart.
Yep. They're just like, okay, you guys are going to offer the ceramic coating to only one type of person. Well, we're just going to dominate by making it affordable mm-hmm. to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Well, and they've done that with their ultimate all wheel cleaner. That's a phenomenal decon remover. They did it with the Meguiar's Fast Finish. That's another phenomenal. And I love how they name it, too. They name it. They put the word wax in there because that's the term that the retail public knows. You know, they don't know sealant or not yet coating. Sealant never really caught on in my neck of the woods. People were constantly confused by a wax and a sealant. And coating hasn't quite caught on, but when they called it a ceramic wax, I'm like, oh man, nailed it. And then it's a consumer grade product or not consumer grade, but marketed to the consumer. I think it's amazing for detailers because I think it's bringing that ceramic term down to the layman, which will in turn benefit professional detailers when they, you know, customers get well acquainted with that word.
Yeah.
So, nice, yeah.
I've noticed here in our market, you know, and I think it's probably the same way everywhere, but everything I see on our SEO
mm-hmm.
is wheels, 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 wheels. So I'm, you know, we've got Express Services over in the Lexus service drive, and I'm actually in the middle of doing some research on a product that is going to be specifically for wheels that can be applied in 2 hours.
Okay.
But But for that kind of a customer, like, you're thinking, okay, this person's bought a Lexus. Like, right. It has to be a product that absolutely blows your mind.
And you're talking
spend money. You know what I mean?
100%. And you're talking about some sort of protective coating on the rim that would, like, repel brake dust or something, or prevent erosion,
yeah.
Or okay.
Yeah, and I've seen a couple different products. I guess, you know, one thing that just is kind of, you know, weird and crazy to me is that, you know, you apply these coatings, these ceramic coatings on vehicles, and then you can't run them through a car wash. And it's like,
right.
That's really limiting. That's really, really limiting to a consumer, you know? I mean, maybe that person doesn't always hand wash their car.
Right.
You know?
Well, and that's where a lot of detailers are getting themselves in trouble is, and kind of where it's adding confusion to the ceramic marketplace is that, you know, the coating companies are selling it as this like extremely hard layer, right? This extremely hard barrier. But then you have to maintain it in like it's super, super delicate. Right.
Yeah,
so
don't
withstand any. Don't do anything. Dry it with a blow dryer and don't touch it with a towel. And it's like, you know, wait a second. Like, and this is why I've said for a long time for detailers to not tie themselves to a specific brand too heavily, like never put a brand over your own company name, because it's ridiculous. It's like, you know, these coding brands obviously don't really care because they're willing to sell anything, but it's just to the consumer, it's insane that to your main selling point is the hardness of the coding. Yet to your point, it's like, no, don't run it through a tunnel wash. Like, why would you do that? That's going to ruin the coding. And it's like, but I thought it was, and I've actually had a customer take a detailer to small claims court over this exact issue, and that detail shop lost because the customer was not informed properly. They, you know, they in their mind, and it was a miscommunication on their end, right? I got pulled in as a third party and kind of dragged through the mud on that. But the issue was with the customer was like, I thought this was like bulletproof, and now you're telling me it's super sensitive. Like, what did I even pay for then? You know, mm-hmm. Anyway, that's, I think my personal opinion is, not that anyone asked, but like the ceramic spray wax and these spray and seals or spray, like these ceramic coating lights are going to be kind of the wave in the long-term ceramic coating in a bottle is kind of going to not fizzle, but not be as, I mean, there's a lot of holes in it, you know, not only with the hardness thing and then not run it through a tunnel, but you never see that customer again, or they have to come back for yearly maintenance. And it's like, mm-hmm. Well, what's the point of a yearly maintenance? I thought this was like a lifetime thing. You know, a lot of confusion for the end customer there.
And I see where, you know, ceramic coating is going to fit one type of person. That's going to be the type of person that has, you know, an old classic car, and they keep it somewhere parked. They don't do a whole lot with it. And then when they want to take it to a car show or something like that, they want to have it protected during, you know, transportation.
Sure.
And they want to, you know, have it just shine, like have that immaculate shine to it. Or, you know, a person who collects cars, something like, I mean, I can see the ceramic coating staying in that particular market.
Sure.
But your everyday drivers, I mean, you know, Meguiar's has nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's do something that's in a bottle that's affordable, that, you know, isn't as extreme.
Yep.
But it still does the same thing, kind of, you know?
Totally. So. Totally. Mikkel, this has been amazing. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you've wanted to cover? And if not, how can people find you, kind of follow along with Parkside and follow along that journey?
So you can go to our website at parksidedetailandaccessories.com. We're also on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. And, you know, I'm on the messengers. If you guys have questions, I, you know, love, like, sitting down and talking with you today. I love answering questions. You know, check us out. See what we do. Like us. Support us. You know, we'll do the same back for you all. And, let's just keep making detailing a more fabulous job.